Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. And for the first time in 3 months, we can officially say it's race week. And we can officially say it's race week in the first time in about a year with a little bit of excitement. Because any excitement that we had last season was pretty quickly extinguished after the first race of the season. For the obvious reason that Red Bull had a rocket ship. Now, we are going to talk a little bit about testing, the roundup of testing, because we obviously spoke last week after the Tuesday of testing, so we have had a little bit more information from that. But obviously it is testing, everyone's going to ram that down your throat, so don't go out throwing conclusions, because you will get yourself in trouble with the F1 police. But Bahrain, the start of the season is upon us, and we are going to talk all things F1 beginning the 2024 season. So stick around, and if you do want to consume even more F1 content, you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Just search Racecast, you will find us. We have a nice new logo for the new season. It's a white background with some tracks embedded into it with a purple text that says Racecast, so you really can't miss us.
And who did the edit?
Me.
You did?
Yep, I'm quite a skilled young man. But yeah, and obviously you're listening to us on some form of audio platform. It is likely to be Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So thank you very much for joining us. But do give us a 5-star rating, because it massively helps the podcast out. And yeah, we're going to lose the car noise for this season. I'm just going to say, let's crack on. And Matt is going to take over. So let's crack on.
Just like Luke said, you know, we will get excited for the first race, and then after the first race, the likelihood it'd be so dominant by Red Bull, we'd be like, shit, we're in for a long year. But yeah, I'm being optimistic. And as you said, we will touch on testing in a second. But I just want to say, before we get on, a massive thank you to everyone who has commented on TikTok on one of our latest videos this week. So from last week, we didn't realise, and for a variety of different reasons, that the first two races are on Saturday, okay?
No, but go on the F1 website and it actually says Saudi is on... Oh, no, we've been through this.
No, we've been through this.
The 9th is Saturday. Yeah. But look, can I address this? Because I often talk about how much I hate people on TikTok. And yeah, if you're watching...
Some of it is on Instagram as well. Let's just not take away from that, okay?
The majority of idiots are on TikTok, right? If you're watching this as a clip on TikTok, it's very likely you're an idiot. Right? And that's fine. But don't comment idiotic stuff, right? We said we were completely unaware that the race was on a Saturday, correct?
Yep.
It has not been made massively publicly available. Now, for those that are Muslim, you'll be very aware the Ramadan starts on, I believe it's the 10th of March. Now, I actually knew this because one of my best friends is a Muslim who I work with every single day. Why the hell does that mean that I should know the race is going to start a day early?
Well, can I read some of the comments?
Yeah, please.
So, best kept secret, use damn calendar. They really should have it on the website and all over the broadcast for the last few weeks. Oh, wait. Okay. We were made of this.
Also, just sorry. If you're sitting, right, with testing on 7 till 4, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with the audio up and you're consuming it all, you're a sad bastard, mate. So tell that little sad fuck to fuck off.
How did people not know this? Literally not a secret. I literally don't understand how you didn't know. I found out on the F1 2024 calendar app. Worth a download, as you didn't know, it alerts you 15 minutes before an event starts.
In fairness, that sounds like quite a nice comment. Yeah. It doesn't sound like he's trying to be smart.
No, to be fair. we won't say that. It was mentioned last year on Sky Sports on the F1 calendar widget. Oh. I used what was updated in December, showing the two initial races on Saturday.
Oh, it was mentioned last year?
Yeah.
Oh, in that case, I cannot believe I forgot it.
Secret, they've made a thing of it since the calendar was announced late last year. Yep, again, I don't know if you remember, last year was boring.
Yeah, and
I didn't take much in from last year.
Tell me what you had for dinner on the 28th of November. Yeah, you can't, because you don't remember stuff. It's fine to forget. We just thought, between us, it had been not largely broadcasted. Okay, you're a sad bastard and you watch testing morning to afternoon with the volume up. Maybe you haven't got a job. Maybe that's just how you want to spend your life. Fine. But most people just have it on in the background, all right? We're checking up on what's going on.
So you say about TikTok, all right? These are some of the comments on Instagram. There's a brand new invention you should check out. It's called a race calendar. It also blows your mind. Nice.
Like, is that genuinely, is that meant to be funny? Like, is he trying to, like, is he, yeah, like,
it
joking
made, it made him laugh. In capitals here, okay, this is one from Nick.
So this guy's shouting at us.
Yep. Okay. Stop watching F1, you don't know anything. Check the F1 page, and it literally says it because of religious reasons. Okay.
Well, so do you want us to stop watching it, or do you want us to check the page and carry on?
Which because one do you want?
You're giving us two different things there.
Nick, you're giving us false vibes here, because...
Nick, what does this guy look like? Right, Nick. How old are you, buddy? Nick 314.69. I mean, his icon is clearly not him. I don't know why he's so angry.
Chill. Because we didn't know something doesn't mean that we're just like, you know, chill out.
Well, we're not disputing the fact that people have probably known about this for months.
Yes. Like, we just weren't aware.
We didn't know. Just because you've got the F1 calendar app doesn't make you better than anyone else. Like, honestly, people need to learn to let it go. A secret? Were the times published? Yes. Okay. It wasn't literally a secret. Like, you don't have to take everything we say.
I mean, to be fair, you didn't really help us here because you said it's the best kept secret in F1.
Oh, okay. So.
And you did say it blows your mind.
Right, so it's all my fault. It's not even a secret. I know it's not a secret. I can't stand these people. Honestly, I love the fact that everyone's getting involved, but like, come on. Race is on a Saturday for Muslims, but race is every Sunday in Christian countries. Oh, okay, I'm not going to continue reading this. I mean... Stupid pandering to Muslims, this guy says. If they don't like it, then tough shit.
What is wrong with people?
I mean, we're literally moving it a day before.
Crikey.
So they can celebrate. That's like saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, Christmas. That's a Christian holiday. Yeah, well, sorry, the race falls on the 25th of December, mate. You got to turn up to work. You'd be like, let's just have it Christmas Eve. Like, but all of a sudden, oh, it's something for Islam. Like, nah, tough shit. If you don't like it, then just suck it up. Yeah, that's actually probably the dumbest comment.
Yeah.
But yeah, yikes! What a comment section.
The thing is, like that. People initially took it from the comment that we had an issue with it. We had no issue with it whatsoever. We just didn't know it was a Saturday.
I actually found this quite funny. So, because yeah, I picked up on this when you said it, because you called it Ramadan. With like an M at the end, and it's Ramadan.
Ramadan, yeah.
Yeah, but if you listen back to the clip, you did. Someone commented saying Ramadan. And that's quite funny. Yeah, more Saturday races, please. Some people, I saw some of the comments where they were like, well, like we got called disrespectful. What was that comment?
Oh, I can't. Yeah, but that's the thing. They said that we were basically saying we had an issue. Not once in that video did I say... Or you say, we have an issue. What we're basically saying is, we just didn't know it was a Saturday. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
My issue was with the marketing behind conveying the message that it was on a Saturday. I could not care less. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm happy. Saturday's great. Yeah, it works out much nicer.
For me, I get to watch the first race of the season a day early. So it's a thumbs up from me.
People, I just don't understand why it went completely. Some people were like, oh, you have an issue? No, not in the slightest.
It was either, oh, what? How disrespectful? Why do you have an issue with this? Or was it a secret?
Yeah.
Or, no, it wasn't a secret.
Have you heard of a thing called a calendar?
Yeah, we could download, like...
So people took this in completely different context, but anyway.
Good for you if you have the F1 calendar, but like...
Just to clarify, Luke and I have no issue with the race being Saturday. We just didn't know it was a Saturday. That was it. That was basically what we were saying.
Yeah, bums.
Anyway. Let's move. Right, so as testing. So F1 have actually basically narrowed it down to the four winners and four losers from pre-season testing. Would you like to go through this?
Isn't that pretty much everyone?
Except two teams.
who are the two teams?
what, who...
Let me just they didn't it. Make the cut. Who are the two teams that are so irrelevant? They're not shit and they're not good.
Stake F1.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And
Williams.
No, Williams were in one of the losers categories.
What?
Let me go through it. So, that, as you can imagine, Red Bull were classed as one of the winners from pre-season testing. They look good. 390 laps. They were pretty quick the whole time. And actually, there's reports that actually they weren't actually running their full engine power either. So, pretty scary. One of the losers, Alpine. Alpine could be in trouble this year because...
Did you read that report about the Alpine car where it's aerodynamically inefficient?
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the other thing was. I think it was to do with the... like the actual power, like the engine. It's weird. They've had a big fall off. You know, if this is true, what, like, I'm not going to deal with people saying it was just testing comments, right? If you're listening, you understand that we are talking about it in testing terms, right? But if they have fallen off like this, that is a massive, you know, 2021, they came fourth in the constructors.
Yeah.
And that's probably, at this period of time, as good as a team like Alpine can do. Mm. For someone like Alpine, that is kind of like coming first.
Yep.
Because they weren't going to compete with Ferrari. They're not going to compete with Mercedes. They're not going to compete with Red Bull. And then, obviously, they went backwards in 2022. They went even further backwards in 2023.
Yeah.
And now, based on what the reports are suggesting... they've gone even further backwards. Well,
reports are suggesting that they're the worst team on the grid.
Yeah.
Which is mad, considering there's a Haas car on that grid.
Which looked pretty shocking.
Yeah. Just touching on, I mean, I know what some of you might say, Drive to Survive fans, but did you watch the episode about Alpine last year? Have you seen that bit yet?
There's two episodes, isn't there?
Have you seen when the sacking happened?
No. So I've seen the first.
Really interesting watch, because... I won't spoil it for you who haven't seen, but it's really interesting to see how much of a divide there is in that team.
Yeah.
Because...
But does that stem from the driver partnership as well?
Oh, it did. Because and it did touch on that as well. And
What I did read is that I saw a tweet. Apparently, like, Alpine mechanics have been liking different tweets and stuff. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Like, basically, kind of slating the team and talking about the division in the team and... And it's looking like, you know, they're trying to get out of there,
yeah.
Basically.
There's real internal issues from what we're seeing and what we're gathering. And actually their race cast indicates and points to the fact that this is a team that are in real trouble at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, because the aerodynamicists and all the engineers in that team are no worse than... they were 2 years ago when they made a car that was capable of coming fourth.
Yeah.
I know that there's a regulation change and everything, blah, blah. But to really fall off like this and not even progress forward shows that something is going wrong.
Completely agree. Another winner was Ferrari.
Yeah, I think that was clear, wasn't it?
Yeah. They actually came out quite good. They were actually, I think two out of the three of them were top. They topped the leaderboard, didn't they, I think, if I'm correct?
Yeah, so day two was Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
Day three was Charles Leclerc.
So they look good. It'll be interesting to see how they get on. Another loser was Haas. It might seem harsh to put Haas in the losers category given the disruptive winter they endured with Steiner leaving. They'll be pleased that they did over 400 laps, but they are likely to be a team that struggle to get out of Q1 and fight for points in this weekend's opener in Bahrain, which I could probably agree with.
You say it's harsh, but they're not ranking them based on emotion, are they? I mean,
they've also been crap for many years.
Yeah.
So if the
data suggests from testing that they've got a poor car.
Yeah. They've probably got a poor car.
It's not that harsh.
Another winner was Mercedes.
Yep.
Technical director James Allison cut an optimistic figure after the pre-season testing concluded.
Yeah, he looked smug as hell in that interview.
And there's reports that actually their engine mode
was turned right down. Yeah.
Which would indicate potentially that Mercedes have a good race car this year. I think we didn't really see the proper qualifying lap times where they would probably they spent the majority of their testing doing race.
Yeah, a huge bulk of that Mercedes time was spent just doing race runs.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, it's really hard to tell. I mean, Mercedes absolutely could have had the engines turned up, had minimum fuel, and they might have been trying to push in certain times. But we just don't know. And no. it generally looked like everyone was under the impression they were just doing race runs. There was a few like hot laps. How hot these laps are, we're not gonna know until Friday when we've got quali. But I think the Mercedes garage, if you compare that to the last two seasons, in particular last season, cut a very different figure.
Yeah.
We saw engineers smiling, confirming the drivers are happy with the car. James Allison was honestly like beaming ear to ear, looked very smug.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm not going to be unrealistic. Do I think they're going to be competing with Red Bull? I'd be very surprised if they are.
Yeah.
Do I think Mercedes are likely to be the second quickest car? I do. Mm. I think they're likely to be quicker than Ferrari.
One of the biggest things that Mercedes need to sort this year is their pit stops.
Yeah.
And their Saturday qualifying. Because that's the thing that really lets them down. Their positioning last year in 2023 was poor. Well, some of their qualifying was poor.
Lewis in particular
was
really poor last year in qualifying generally.
Except Hungary.
Yeah. But to his standard, Lewis underperformed on Saturday. Every Sunday, he really showed up.
Yeah.
Right? He was flawless on the Sundays. But quali, he really did let his standards slip a little bit. I think that's something that he obviously acknowledged. We've heard him talk about it. I think it's something that he'll address this year. Now it is about getting the pit stops on lock, getting strategy on lock. We've got a very solid foundation car, right? It looks a lot less of a handful to drive than the W14, W13. It's now, let's just build on it.
I mean, if we go into this weekend's Grand Prix and we're seeing the 3.5 second pit stops, I think I'd cry.
Yeah, I'll be pissed off. What I did find funny is, I don't know if we spoke about this last week. Did you see the Ferrari tweet where they tweeted like they tweeted a video of like an aerial shot of them doing a pit stop, and they were slow on the front left. Like, I shit you not, like it was a slow stop, and like they tweeted it as if it was like something slick, like they were showing like a really cool stop, and everyone was like, holy shit, like they can't even nail it in a promo. And then they deleted the video.
Oh, they said they posted the right one, didn't they?
Yeah. They were like, we posted the wrong one. How humiliating is that? But I mean, that sums up Ferrari perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, they can't even get it right.
On a tweet.
In a fucking promo. Like, come on. So I like to think Mercedes have actually stepped their game up here. Because that was a massive area of weakness. And if you are going for championships, right? Even if they're battling for P2 with Ferrari, right? Those vital 7/10 or 9/10 that you lose in a slower stop are important. That's the difference between someone getting within DRS on the last lap.
The issue is for those 8 years when Mercedes were dominant, they could muck up their pit stops.
Yeah, it
wouldn't make a difference because they would make up the time on the track. They're now in a position where actually every single second counts.
Yeah.
So they're in a very different position than they were. You know, Red Bull, fine, because they can muck up on a pit stop and they'll still do it.
But they don't.
No.
They're flawless.
That's the issue. That's why they're so good. So it is something which is an Achilles heel for Mercedes. It's something that they need to really work on. But I also think, you know, the Saturday pace is so important because their position on the grid is also another issue which they had in 2023. So qualifying, you know, they do generally have a good race day car. it's just the qualifying and the pit stops that they seem to struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Another loser, which was Williams. They had a few gremlins.
This surprises me, though. Well, they would be categorised as a loser.
Well, they put it as, when you change concept as dramatically as Williams have over the winter, there are always going to be challenges when you put the car on the track. And that's what transpired with a series of mechanical issues costing the British team precious miles. Yeah, so that's why they looked at it. They've only done this tape based on actually... on the testing, but they did have a few issues.
They did have a few issues.
And
so did McLaren then. Are McLaren a loser?
No.
McLaren had loads of issues.
They're not on here.
They're just picking on Williams.
They are.
I think that's out of order, because I think their car looks a lot stronger than it did last year.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it?
It looks like it's got a lot more downforce.
Yeah. Have you seen that clip from James Vowles on the High Performance podcast?
I've seen a few.
So... I also, from Drive to Survive, I love James Vowles even more every time I listen to him speak.
Ever since he's gone to Williams, I've really enjoyed him. Yeah. Whether it's him talking on the pit wall, he posts videos on his Instagram, yeah, if he's in them, whether it's an interview, post or pre-race, whether it's... I haven't actually seen the Drive to Survive episode.
Yeah, it's so good. So basically, in this podcast he was on, he said, look, I don't care about 2023. I don't care about 2024. And I don't care about 2025. Finish last. I don't care. Break everything. I don't care. He said, I want to make sure that actually we are learning from our mistakes and building a better car. He said, what's interesting is Williams have always been that team that they stick with the same concept and try and tweak it to make it work. Now he's in a position where he's like, I don't want that. Design a car. Does it work? No, okay, break it, start again, find out what works. And the way he talks is so good. It's so good.
He's very captivating in the way that he speaks. If I could find a clip,
the reason why I want to, because it is such an interesting...
Don't play it now. No one wants to listen to Jake Humphries.
No, it's not him. It's only James Vowles.
No, I know, but they can go and listen to it.
Go and watch it.
Go and listen to the podcast, because I have seen a lot of clips from it, and clearly it's... it's a good episode.
Yeah. Another winner is Red Bull State. No, Red Bull Visa Cap Ash.
Oh, what? So McLaren are one of the two teams not mentioned.
Yeah.
I think that's probably fair. But I think if we're putting Williams in that loser category, McLaren should be in there.
Danny Ric was in the top five in all three testings. He did well.
Yeah, the car looks...
Actually, sorry, each of the 2 days of running, sorry.
The car looks strong. Yeah. It does. The only thing is I think it's going to be like RB19 strong.
Yeah.
And...
cars have already progressed.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah. So, and that's absolutely not a slander towards the team at all, because I think the RB19 even this year would be better than
half the cars.
Probably some cars, yeah. Yeah. And obviously it will be developed a little bit more than that. But yeah, other teams have developed as well. So, you know, I'll put it out there and say, I reckon Danny Ric will get a podium this year in that car.
Yeah. Well, he did say, didn't he? They think top five, potentially a podium, yeah, is doable.
I reckon. I don't think it's going to be consistent. I don't think it's going to be battling consistently with Mercedes, Ferrari, and realistically the McLaren probably is going to be up there.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I think that car is going to excel at certain tracks, and I think it will be consistently good,
yeah,
throughout the year.
Just talking about Red Bull, previously AlphaTauri, another Drive to Survive
thing. Say Red Bull, previously AlphaTauri?
Red Bull Visa.
It's Racing Bull. The RB, Racing Bull, the RB, sorry, stands for Racing Bull.
Sorry, that's what I meant, Racing Bull. So, oh God. So, another episode, Drive to Survive, and we've touched on this before. Liam Lawson.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen this episode. But I've read stuff,
yeah,
about this episode.
It still blows my mind that Liam Lawson was not given a permanent seat. The more you see from that episode... and how well he did by coming in after that Danny Ric injury and stepping up and going on to get points, actually beating Tsunoda in certain races, And it still blows my mind that he didn't come in and get a seat.
All right, so answer this. Who's the best partnership here? Danny Rick and Sonoda. Sonoda and Lawson. Lawson and Danny Rick.
Well, it is difficult. Don't be wrong, it is difficult. And another one, you saw that. I'm guessing you saw the Horner episode when Danny Rick got given the seat.
Yeah, and the lap would have put him next to Max. Which obviously, Perez was well off.
Yeah. So I did think about this after, and I was like, okay, well, who would you drop? So Danny Rick?
I think this is a... At this point, yeah, it's really hard to call Danny Rick. Mm. It would be extremely harsh to then drop Sonoda.
So I get
this season is a big season.
Yeah.
Right? And I think this is potentially Sonoda's last season. Mm. I think if Danny Rick outperforms him, I think for Red Bull to look at it from a... And I say Red Bull because they're the parent. Mm. Red Bull will look at that and think, okay, well, we've got Liam Lawson here, who has raced. He showed potential. Is it time we just call it a day on Danny Rick? Not Danny Rick, on Yuki Tsunoda, because he's being outperformed by a 35, 36-year-old Danny Rick. Lawson did beat him some races. I think Tsunoda was majority of the time in front. And maybe it's time that we give Lawson a go.
But this is the issue, isn't it? You know, Lawson, he's one for the future. You've got Danny Rick, who's basically coming towards the end of his career.
Say that as if Alonso isn't, 42? So realistically, he could have another 7 years in him.
Okay, Danny Rick is not in the same category as Alonso.
No.
Danny Rick is not in the same category as Lewis Hamilton. Danny Rick has had his opportunity. He failed in Renault. He failed in McLaren. And now he's coming back for a bit of redemption to potentially try and get a seat back in Red Bull. Do I think he'll get a seat back in Red Bull? No, not in the slightest.
Nah, I'll be shocked if
Christian Horner loves him. That's one thing you gather. He absolutely loves him.
Yeah.
With Liam Lawson, one thing I don't understand is this is a driver. You know, last year when the year before, Nick de Vries raced in that thing and then AlphaTauri took him because they're like, oh, he's had a really good race in Monza, was it?
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, you know, bring him in. What I don't understand is Liam Lawson, over that period of time when he was covering for Danny Rick, performed.
Yeah.
Not only did he perform in qualifying, he out-qualified Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez in Singapore. Okay?
Did that actually happen?
Yes. He got P10. He out-qualified both Red Bulls in Singapore.
I can't believe I
don't
remember that.
Don't you? Well, he did.
I trust you.
Yeah, no. He went out and he outperformed that car for what it is. And that AlphaTauri was a tractor. And he went out there and he was picking up points for them. So if you're any other team on that grid, like even people like, for example, Williams.
Yeah, I'm surprised Williams didn't look at him for Sargeant.
You've got a driver there who's actually proved himself in F1. He's come in, already done more than what, you know, Sargeant had done. You know, this is a driver who could have gone to potentially any other team. No, Alfa Romeo at the time. You know, there's all these teams who potentially has. Surely any team there would have been better to go, do you know what, actually, I would quite like to go for Lawson.
Yeah, let's take a punt on him.
Yeah.
But instead, it's not really a punt, it's less of a punt, isn't it? Because you've seen him actually perform.
Yeah. I just don't understand it. And don't get me wrong, I know AlphaTauri want to keep him and build him for the future. He, you know, test driver for Alfa, Racing Bull and now... And Red Bull as well, but you really saw and you watched the episode when you get around to seeing it, and let me know what your thoughts were. But the disappointment in it, because he felt like he had done enough to earn himself a seat, and actually, from what you see and what I remember, he did.
Yeah, no, I remember us saying at the time, like, wow, yeah, like he deserves a seat.
I've seen drivers do far less and get a seat, and Danny Rick is one of them.
Nick de Vries.
Oh, that episode was sad, man.
I've watched some of
I felt bad for him. You know, he's 28 years old. Nick de Vries has done this work to get to F1, the pinnacle of what he's worked for years. And then all of a sudden, after 10 races, he didn't perform. You know, this is a driver who was meant to come into AlphaTauri and actually be basically the leader. You know, lead Tsunoda, be beating Tsunoda on a week-to-week basis. And actually, he just failed. But I did find it quite harsh that after literally 10 races, they were like, actually, see you later. I found that quite harsh because there's drivers who have been in F1, like Mazepin, like Sargeant, who have been given a whole season to prove themselves. Yeah.
Actually, no, I have seen that episode. But I think that is how Red Bull works. That's how Red Bull operate. They're ruthless. And whether you like it or not, it works, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's got them to where they are, but...
Let me know what your thoughts are at home. You know, do you agree with Lawson? I just think he should be on the grid this year. And I think there's people on the grid who probably shouldn't be on the grid this year.
Oh, 100%. Lawson deserves that seat over someone like Logan Sargeant.
Okay, tell me this. Tell me if you're wrong. So, I would pick Lawson over K-Mag.
Yep.
Joel.
Yep.
Sargeant.
Yep. Perez, honestly.
Perez, you could say Perez. You could even say Bottas.
Yeah, Bottas had a pretty poor season, I think.
But he's, for me,
Bottas
his experience,
is someone that you can rely on. Yeah, he's got the experience.
But there's four drivers there who I would say Lawson should be on a grid ahead of them.
Yeah.
But I know obviously he's part of that program and they want to keep him. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's and I know on the other argument you could say, well, actually, to be fair, he wouldn't. It's lucky that he even got a shot at all.
Oh, which is true.
And it is true. But you take your shot when you can.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at, for example, I'm going to use a football analogy because I know you like this. You know, the Liverpool players this weekend in the Carabao Cup.
Yep.
They came on and proved themselves.
They did.
Realistically, they're cementing themselves potentially in that Liverpool's not necessarily like as a starter.
But within the squad, yeah.
Within the squad.
Now they're champions.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. I just feel very disappointed for him. I find it quite sad for him that he's not starting the grid because he definitely is someone who I think deserves to be there.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the final loser was actually Aston Martin. Aston Martin were reasonably happy with their efforts in pre-season testing and to end up fourth in both of our race simulations and qualifying spec calculations is by no means something to scoff at. However, Lawrence Stroll team have hefty ambitions. And after their mega step they made over the winter last year, they will perhaps have hoped to have been a bit closer.
Yeah, I guess it's a disappointment when you compare it. Yeah. But last year was such a step, man. Everyone was like, how the fuck have they done this?
Yeah.
To replicate that again, because they fell quite far back during the season. I say quite far back. I mean, they went from being the second fastest team to the fifth. That's quite a drop off.
Yeah.
I personally wasn't expecting them to make that gain again.
No.
And I think we'll see them as the fifth fastest team this year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We should talk about Bahrain, you know.
Yeah, we should. Can I just finish on one bit of news?
All right, you can finish on this.
Alpine rule out Schumacher F1 test. So, interestingly, obviously, as we...
Oh, yeah, because he drives for, like, their supercar.
Supercar team, World Endurance Championship.
Yeah, that's it.
And actually, there was talk that Alpine were going to offer him a test throughout this year. And it doesn't look like he is going to be getting a seat anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, he's not good enough, is he?
No. Also, other news, we set up F1 Fantasy.
Yeah, now I was actually going to talk about this because I haven't picked my team yet. I was going to pick it live on air.
Oh, interesting.
Right, so if you don't know, Well, F1 actually do a fantasy. Yeah. So, you know, football fans get FPL. We get fantasy F1.
Yep.
FF1. yeah, that's not going to stick. But we have set up a league where we can all compete. There's no prize other than pride.
That's
the big thing. Like, if you win, we can get a pretty big league,
yep.
I think. So we're going to post it on socials. It'll be in the link in our bio for the next week if you want to join. Okay.
That's how many people we have at the moment.
How many is that? Is that one, just you?
No, there. On the side.
28? Okay, so we've got 28 people in already. I'm going to make my team right now, right? So this is how it works. You pick five drivers. You have a, your cost cap is $100 million, right? So you pick five drivers, two constructors. Now, obviously, you would be an absolute idiot to not splash out that £30 million on Max Verstappen. So, I'm sorry, there's no way I'm not having Max in that team. You've actually, you've not put Max in, have you?
No, couldn't do it.
That is honestly insane. I'm going Danny Ric. I'm going Lewis Hamilton. Fuck, I got 47 mil. This has got to cover my constructors as well.
Yeah. So this is my point.
Okay.
Should I tell you my team while you're picking?
Yeah.
So I got Lewis Hamilton because you have to have the person you support. I've got Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Alex Albon, and Pierre Gasly, which is probably my weakest one there. And as my constructors, I've got Racing Bull, Fisa, Capash, and Ferrari.
I haven't got enough money for anyone else. I've got three drivers and two constructors, and I can't afford anyone. I've got 5 mil left. So I'm going to have to get rid of someone. Do I get rid of Red Bull as a constructor on the basis that Perez is likely to let them down?
Yep.
Wow, mad. Aston Martin, McLaren are more expensive
than Aston Martin and
I'm going to go Ferrari. I've got Ferrari and Red Racing Bulls as my...
All right. Copy me, eh?
Yeah, that does sound like I'm copying you, but I'm going to go Alex Albon. Oh, yeah, but if I go Albon, oh no, I can afford one of the stake teams. Wow, Zhou's more expensive than Bottas.
Is he?
I'm going to pick Bottas. Okay, right. I'm going to talk you through my team right now.
Okay.
I've got Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Because to not have him would be incredible. Why would you not have him? Daniel Ricciardo. Okay. Because I think that car's going to be strong, and I do think he's going to be stronger than Yuki.
Yep.
Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Because he's Lewis Hamilton. Alex Albon.
Yep. Got him.
Primarily because I actually do think he's going to pick up points throughout the season. I think the car's a little bit stronger. I think he's a very strong driver.
Yep.
And then Valtteri Bottas, primarily because I had run out of funds and I needed someone else that wasn't Logan Sargeant. And he was my best option, really. I didn't want either of the Haas boys in the team.
That's fair enough.
Then I've gone for the same as you, Ferrari, Constructor 1. Racing Bull, Constructor 2.
Fair enough. You can have up to three teams, I think.
Nah. Oh, what? As in, like, I can...
Yeah, it says you can have up to three teams.
Oh, nah, that's cheating. I'm just going to have the boys.
Yeah.
Select a turbo driver. Oh, yeah, Max can be... Max can have my DRS booth.
Now I haven't got Max, I feel like I should try and get Max, but I don't want to just have Max for the sake of it, if it makes sense.
What's your team called?
MJAC 8.
How do you think of that?
It's just MJAC 8 F1, that's what it is. What's yours?
Don't know, I might call it like Martin's Mega Movers.
That's good. Yeah, get involved, play at home. Link will be in the description, so... and if you want to know a bit more, go and find out the code, because I did a little picture post on TikTok.
Yeah, so we're gonna try and get as many people involved as this possible, just because it's a good laugh. And yeah, there will be pride if you're working for some sort of company and you want to sponsor this for whatever reason. Go ahead and do it. We promise to give the prize away.
Should we talk about Bahrain?
Yeah, I can't log into my phone account. But yeah, let's talk about Bahrain, because that is obviously coming up this weekend.
Right, so let me tell you timing, shall I? FP1 on Thursday is 11:30 till 12:30. FP2 is 3 till 4 on Thursday. On Friday, FP3 is 12:30 till 1:30. And qualifying is 4 till 5 on Friday. on Saturday, Luke, mm-hmm. race mm-hmm. is Saturday, mm-hmm. is 3:00.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Right. Should we continue with a little quiz?
Yep. See, I like, this is my favourite part of every episode where I get to do a little quiz based on Bahrain.
And actually...
Well, based on like the race that we're talking about, it's not about Bahrain every Bahrain, single yeah. week.
How do you spell Bahrain? No. First Grand Prix held. You can play at home. Let me know how many you get.
Oh, 2004.
Very well done. Yeah. Number of laps.
I actually know this. Oh, I know this. It's 53. 57. Fuck, I was close.
Lap record and held by who?
Oh, this is a weird one. Because they kept talking about it. Is this race laps?
Yeah, lap record.
Yeah, but is that like a qualifying lap or...
I don't know. It just says lap record.
Because I swear they were talking about it. I can't remember the driver's name, but I know this is going to be wrong, but I'm just going to say Charles Leclerc, 1:28.4.
So it's 1:31.4, and it's Pedro De La Rosa.
Yeah, I knew it was De La Rosa.
2005.
I knew that, so I'm angry at myself now.
And DRS detection zones.
2.
3.
Huh? Oh, yeah, no, that's actually true. Pit straight.
I love the fact it's actually true, and I'm telling you, I got it in front of me. Yes.
No, it's because I'm trying to log into my F1 account. And they just... It's been real complicated, but I did pretty well under the circumstances.
You did. You made me proud. Right, this is one of my favourite things. And actually, do you think we should do a league this year? Do you think we should get Will to do a little edit for this? What is... or who is your top three for this weekend's Bahrain Grand Prix?
Max Verstappen first.
What made you come to that conclusion?
It was a tough one. But once I really think about it, he's the only one that makes sense.
Yep.
for obvious reasons. I'm going to go... I'm going to go Max.
Yep.
Charles Lewis. Now, only because the Ferrari has been strong here.
Yep.
The last 2 years. Over the last 2 years, they've also started on the front foot compared to Mercedes. So, yeah, I'm going to say that.
All right. My top three, I will go, I agree with you, Max Verstappen, P1. I'm going to go, I'm sounding a bit delusional now, Lewis, P2.
I think that's still fine.
And I'm going to go a bit mad here, okay? I'm going to go Carlos Sainz, P3.
Over Charles.
Yep. I think Carlos Sainz this year has got a point to prove.
He's racing for his...
He is. But I think it's going to be a new level for Carlos Sainz this year. I really think. And I know probably a lot of you will probably give me quite a bit of stick here. But Max, Lewis, Sainz. That's what I'm going for.
I don't think that's a bad shout. I think
Signs look good in testing.
The Mercedes, they might have been holding something back.
Yeah.
Everyone was holding something back. We just don't know how much each team was holding back.
It's the start of a new year, so let's let our delusional brains.
Yeah. No, the Mercedes things. I think we are likely to see a Mercedes and or a Ferrari on the podium. No, Perez was not very quick through testing.
Yeah.
And was consistently off, quite a way off the pace compared to Max. I know they're done at different times and we don't know what programs he was running and stuff, but for a man that was battered last year,
yeah,
right, took a lot of stick in the media for being slower than Max Verstappen, to make him run testing on heavier fuel loads, slower engine modes, so he looks slower than Max Verstappen,
yeah,
doesn't make sense to me. That's not a way you give a man confidence.
No.
It's like, right, let's make him look quick. Let's get people talking about him positively and let's kickstart his season in the right way. So that's why I think Red Bull wouldn't have done that, in my opinion. And I genuinely just think Sergio Perez is off the pace.
Yeah. So what do you think? Let's make some bold predictions for the new year.
Bold predictions.
So I'm thinking Max Verstappen, world champion. Not a bold prediction. Sergio Perez won't be racing for Red Bull after the summer break.
See, I was going to say, I think it will be confirmed that Sergio Perez won't be racing for Red Bull next year.
Oh, see, I don't think he will see after the summer break.
Interesting.
Yeah. What other ones could we come up with? Logan Sargeant will be last. That's a given.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I think Stake F1 team are going to get... We're going to see Stake F1 team have a top six finish.
Ooh, yeah.
In the first half of the season.
Okay, yeah, like it.
I think that car looked... I don't think it looked awful.
No. I think they got something there, haven't they?
I think I'm more confident in their car this year than I was last year.
Yeah, fair point.
Are they Stake F1 or are they Kick? Because the little badge that you have next to the driver's name is a K. It's the Kick logo.
Yeah.
But they're called Stake F1.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I thought they're Stake F1.
Well, they are. But Red Bull don't have the Monster logo, do they?
Kick Sauber, actually.
What?
Stake F1 team Kick Sauber.
There's too much going on. There is, but...
Yeah, Kick Sauber.
But is that because they had to get rid of the Stake? There's trouble with the Stake name, isn't
there? Potentially.
But yeah, I think, look, no matter how you look at this season, one thing we can say is go into this weekend with all the excitement in the world. If you're a Haas fan, you better believe that Kevin Magnussen is going to win that race. If you're a Stake F1 fan, Guan Yu Zhou is going to get up on that podium. Do you know what I mean? This is the only time, this is likely the only time all season that you are going to be able to have these outlandish, delusional beliefs and hopes and actually have some sort of argument behind it of like, well, it could happen.
Yeah.
Because it absolutely could happen. But after four or five races, you're going to be like, I mean, realistically, after Bahrain, you're going to be like, it's not happening.
Actually, four or five laps.
Yeah. You will know pretty quick. So don't let that ruin this week for you, right? Yeah. Turn up to free practice on Thursday. And if your team or your driver is lapping in P18, he's sandbagging.
Yeah.
All right. And then when it gets to quali and he's out in Q1, yeah, it's because he's giving the others a chance because he knows that when it gets to the race, he's going to smoke him. Then when it gets to the race, okay, granted, that's when you're going to have to let go of the delusion. But just enjoy this period because it is the only time this season that you are not going to have 100% belief that Max Verstappen is going to win every single race, all right? And I promise you after the first lap, that will change. So let's enjoy this moment as F1 fans, unless you're a Red Bull fan. And then you're going to have this moment for the whole season. Congratulations.
Just quickly, Lewis Hamilton, will he win a race this year?
I believe so.
Lando Norris, will he get his first win?
I do actually believe Lando will get a win this year. Yeah. I know we joke about it a lot. I will genuinely be surprised if the Red Bull is as dominant as last year.
Yeah.
Genuinely. I'll be shocked. I still think it will win the majority of races. I just think we will see some cars be more competitive at different tracks. And if we don't, then the regulations really are failing us, because we've spoken about this before. You can't compare it to the Mercedes dominance, because there were times where other cars won. There were tracks where that Mercedes didn't click 100%. And we just haven't seen that with the Red Bull. Yeah. And okay, yeah, you could argue, well, it's not the regulations, it's Adrian Newey's genius. Yeah, perhaps. You know, I wouldn't really like to make that argument against anyone. But as fans, we can agree that if Red Bull win the same amount of races as they did last season, the regulations have failed us as fans.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it hasn't allowed for the closer racing we were promised. It's just allowed for another period of domination, but not just any domination, complete and utter total domination.
Just quickly, as we know, Carlos Sainz will be leaving Ferrari at the end of this season.
Really?
Yeah, just if you didn't know. 2021, Carlos Sainz beat Leclerc in the championship. 2022.
Marginally,
but he still beat him. 22, Leclerc obviously beat Sainz, whatever. Yep. Last year, up until the last race of the season, Sainz was beating Leclerc in the championship.
So he was beaten by Leclerc?
Yep. Okay. But he was beaten. Heading into this year, will Carlos Sainz beat Leclerc in the championship? And if that does happen, is this a failing on Ferrari's part?
If it does happen, then it's going to look really bad on Ferrari and Charles Leclerc.
Yeah.
I mean, my sentiment's not changed the whole period we've been doing this podcast. I strongly believe Charles Leclerc will finish ahead of Carlos Sainz this season. I believe that every season. But yeah, it will say a lot if Sainz does beat him. You know, that being said, that sounds like I'm like so definitive on it. I think they're both really good drivers.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a huge gap in skill there, but I do believe that Charles Leclerc is a stronger, better, more consistent driver.
Yep. Okay.
So I'm going to say, no, Leclerc is going to finish ahead of Carlos Sainz. But I expect Sainz to have a strong season.
Yeah. I think he's got a massive point to prove this year, and I think you're going to see the real best out of Carlos Sainz.
Yeah,
I really do. Right, guys, that is it. It is nice to say it is race week. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. If you did, as I said, check us out on all social medias. Follow us on...
All social media.
We're
so old.
We are. Well, I am.
No, not we. No, you.
You, okay. Potentially we might do something this weekend. We don't know yet. We'll be around posting a lot more content. So do check it out. And yeah, hopefully we have a good race. That's what I'm hoping for. And don't forget, the race is Saturday, if you didn't know. But we're idiots, so everyone does know that except us.
It's the best kept secret.
It is. So have a good week. Enjoy race week. And we'll be back next week. What we do next week? Reviewing Bahrain.
And obviously previewing Saudi. Because we are straight
back
across.
Into it. I am so glad. I'm going to say this now because it might change after next week, but I am so glad F1 is back. So have a good week, and we shall see you later. Bye-bye.